This is Mind Salad, a program of diverse weekly discussions about mental wellness with a rotating panel of licensed professional mental health counselors on a variety of mental health topics with guests and information to help you sort through life struggles. The information that is provided on this program is for informational purposes only and is not meant to treat or diagnose any mental health condition or be a substitute for therapy. This week, your host is Carlos Villafan from Mind Renewal Behavioral Health Services.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Mind Salad, a show about mental wellness, about from different perspectives by four different mental health professionals, all local here in the Colorado Springs area. My name is Carlos Villafan. I'm your host for today. I'm the owner of Mind Renewal Behavioral Health Services. A clinic locally here in Colorado Springs. We provide a wide array of therapeutic services for myriad of population. Today is a special one for me. I have a special guest, Mr. Alan Gaines. Thank you for coming on the show with me today.
Well, not a problem. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate your time, man, and coming on and sharing your thoughts. Tell everybody out there in Radio Land, man, a little bit about yourself, your life story. What's our connection? How do we know each other?
I'm originally born in San Francisco. You know, did some traveling around with my parents being in the military. Decided at one point in time with the cost of living and, you know, some personal issues that I needed to find somewhere that was a little less populated and a little slower way of life. So I ended up finding Colorado Springs. I met a young woman who eventually became my wife, and we had children, and I stayed and put roots down. With you and I, our connection and our story is basically my wife's cousin is married to your wife's brother. But even though we're not directly related through blood or marriage, I would consider you family.
Right on, man. As do I. As do I. I've come to know you over the years, man. You know, admire your person, man, your work ethic, just everything about you, man. You're an entrepreneur like I am. Your family is family to me, man, for sure. And we also got that motorcycle connection, right?
Yeah, well, there's definitely that motorcycle connection.
Right.
Red Six.
All right. So today's show, man, wraps up my discussions over the last couple of shows about grief, bereavement, trauma, depression, anxiety, and kind of everything that comes along with that, man. And so what I'd love for you to do, if you don't mind, man, to the listeners, is share with us your experiences with loss.
Well, and I can tell you this. I started off at a young age. You know, I'd lived in some rather rough communities at times, and I'd probably been to more funerals by the time I was 14 than most people go through in a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And I think at a certain point, in order to deal with it, I became kind of hardened. And the way I dealt with everything was just to internalize it. And I turned my sadness and my fears into anger. And that was how I tended to cope and deal with them as a young man. And of course, as I've gotten older, and I've had children and I have a wife, you know, I've gradually softened with age in the hopes to be able to communicate better with them.
Yeah.
So my most recent losses have definitely affected me in a whole different manner.
Yeah.
And I've taken it, you know, I tried, I think, to kind of avoid it mm-hmm. at first. And just recently I had a string of losses and almost loss. Mm-hmm. You know, I almost lost my wife in October. And, you know, just some of the trauma just from the visual that I saw when I was in the hospital in the emergency room, you know, those are burned and etched in my memories.
Right.
And I don't think I'll ever get rid of them.
Right.
And then my father passed away Christmas morning. Mm-hmm. I also recently, about 2 months ago, lost a stepbrother and a recent loss of one of my customers that I was pretty close with that kind of lived up in the mountains. And, you know, I would take that extra time when I did work for her to, you know, set aside half hour or so just to kind of chit chat with her because she was, you know, getting pretty elderly and she was up there by herself, and she enjoyed seeing me and I enjoyed seeing her. So it became quite a connection between the two of us.
Right on. And listen, that last part there, man, is partly why I admire you, man, that you take the extra, you go the extra mile, man, for people, people that you don't know personally, maybe they're not, you know, in your day-to-day lives, but you do that for people, man. And like last night we were chatting a little bit, right, about today, about the show and about the topic, man, and how difficult it is sometimes to talk about this to really anyone, let alone a stranger, and you know, hundreds, thousands, who knows how many people out there in radio land. But it's difficult to talk about this, man. So I appreciate your efforts, your energy, man, to talk about your experiences with this topic, because it's not easy. And I mentioned on the first show, man, you know, we all went through COVID, and you know some stories, personal stories about me and some of my family members who, you know, COVID affected us, man, and it affected us personally, and it was a struggle, man, and that's loss in and of itself, you know. So when it starts to accumulate and snowball like that, one after the other, that's just difficult to do. One other thing you mentioned last night, man, that really stayed with me was, I don't mind talking about this, because if we can connect with one person out there, you know, that's the goal, right? And I replied to you that's a win for me. That's the whole purpose and premise of this show, to try to reach one person and help one person. So tell me a little bit about that, man. What were your thoughts on that? What were you thinking when you said that to me?
Well, it's just because I'm sure I'm not the only one in this world that, you know, is guarded with their emotions. So hopefully, and I know some folks out there, I don't know if they'll listen to the show, or the ones, even if they don't know me and they do, that they'll realize that just because, you know, you may have come from a hardened environment, or you may internalize and you may shut yourself off from the outside world when dealing with emotions, I can promise you, just going through this last round of loss myself, that it does take other people, and it does take the communication and the conversation in order for you to have some type of healing. You know, I tried to avoid it a lot at first, mainly because, you know, I was very busy. I lost my father. It was the holidays, you know, still having a family to provide for myself. And, you know, there was times where, like you guys, honestly, when you guys came through on the bikes, paid me a visit, it meant the world to me. Right. You know, it, even though, you know, we didn't have to do a whole lot of talking about the situation, it was just such a wonderful feeling to know that there were people in my corner and people who understood, and also folks who have dealt with loss themselves.
Right.
But what I want to say is that, folks, you need to take the time to grieve. You need to take the time to realize that is the only thing that is really going to help in the long run, is time. You know, we spend so much time beating ourselves up over things that we didn't do, or we didn't say, or just trying to process in general. Because, you know, my father and myself, we had kind of a turbulent relationship over my lifetime growing up. But I got to a point where, you know, I was grown and had a family of my own. And at a certain point, I let those things go. And I just was there for him through his health problems. And even though I feel like I said all the things that I wanted to say, you know, I let him know that, you know, how much I loved him, the things I admired about him, and how much, you know, I appreciated that he was my father. That even with all those things being said, after he passed away, I still found myself constantly wishing that, you know, I had that one more second to just to say something to him again, you know, searching my thoughts, searching my feelings, and making sure that, is there something that I left off the plate,
right,
that I would have wanted to get across to him.
Right.
But, you know, I got to a point, honestly, where I still try to go to the old way and internalize a lot of what I had going on. Mm. And eventually, between almost losing my wife to a heart attack, my father's death, keeping myself busy with work, and then, you know, not getting enough rest, it finally caught up with me to the point where I actually felt like there was something wrong with me, and I had to go to the doctor and, you know, have lab work drawn and blood work drawn to figure out, you know, what was going on with me, because there was something definitely wrong.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that I didn't want to get out of bed, even when I was awake, I constantly felt tired.
Yeah.
And the kicker of it all was, you know, growing up where I grew up, emotions could potentially cost you your life. You know, they could be detrimental. So, you know, you don't deal in them. You try to process things before that happens. So when people have always said in the past that, you know, they're depressed, you know, there was points and times where I looked at that and said, you know what, they're just lying on their butts. They need to get up off their shoulders and get back to it. Or that they were basically weak in my, you know, And that's not how that we carried ourselves.
Right.
But it was quite a irony that when I went to go have my blood work drawn and have all those things done just to make sure, you know, that I wasn't diabetic or there wasn't something else going on, that the questionnaire that I filled out in the beginning for the healthcare screening, before the doctor came in, they sent in to a therapist to actually talk to me and said that I scored pretty high for depression.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, that wasn't anywhere on the forefront of my list. I figured that it was health related, which
medical.
Yeah. Which definitely in some points in times depression can internalize itself and can turn into a medical issue.
Right. You know, there's a I mentioned in one of my previous shows this book, and so it's a great book, man, if you're interested. But you and I come from similar backgrounds, right? You're from Northern California, I'm from Southern California. But this book, it's called The Body Keeps the Score. And yeah, growing up the way we did, you know, we did things a different way, man. We had to survive. We just kept on living. We just pushed things aside, pushed things down, and you have to keep on living, right? And so one of my earlier shows, again, I talked about all those cliches that we get indoctrinated, man, about, you know, suck it up and drive on in the military. You know, it's a very common term, man. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you know, replace the loss, right? You lose a pet, let's just go to the pound and get another one. So we get indoctrinated with these ideas, man, but the body keeps the score, man. You can't, your body won't let you forget about that. At the worst possible time, these things will creep up, and here we are, right? We're at a doctor's office, we think we're sick, something's wrong with our body physically, organically, biologically, but it turns out to be, you know, we're discombobulated, we're dysregulated with our brains, man, psychologically speaking. And as big and tough as you are, man, and all the stuff you've done, you know, we're human beings, man, and the body keeps the score. What are your thoughts, Alan, on how some teach that grief is in stages or it's a linear process? What are your thoughts on that, man, or how was it for you?
I definitely believe that it is linear. Like I said, I started off in disbelief and then denial and then a point to where, you know, I had to lay my father to rest. And then, you know, a factor of how am I going to get on from here, you know? And it's not like I really needed his emotional or financial support, but just the fact that, you know, knowing I had a father, and if I needed to, you know, I could go sit and hang out with him for a second, or even just being there for him. You know, now that's somebody that I would do anything for just because I love them. Yeah. I no longer have the ability to do
it's that. It's gone.
Yeah, to do that for them. So, you know, I went in stages, and like I said, after I laid him to rest, I couldn't really bring myself to just fully exhale. You know, it finally, maybe a month or so after he passed away, then I went back and I watched his service because it was live streamed, and I gave myself a chance to, and I don't even know if I fully did it then, you know, but I tried to help myself by letting some of that stuff go,
right,
and get it out just so that it wouldn't eat me alive inside,
right.
And honestly, the biggest savior for me probably has been my work. Yeah. I mean, besides the fact that it's kept me so busy and my mind so shifted in a different direction, you know, I still have a chance to think about him and deal with my emotions on his loss, but they're not all at once. You know, I'm not just sitting around thinking about it all the time,
all day, all time.
But time is definitely the healing factor. Okay. And like I said, I went from where the songs that they played at his funeral, anytime that they would come on, you know, it would wreck me inside. It would just completely destroy me to a point where I could get through the first couple of minutes, you know, not just have to shut them off. And then to a point where sometimes, you know, I'm actually listening to the songs and smiling and kind of having a conversation with them as I'm working.
Right on. Good, good. So if you're just tuning in, my name's Carlos Villafan. You are listening to Mind Salad, a show about mental wellness. Today I have a special guest, my good friend Alan Gaines. He's the owner of G5 Landscaping. I want to plug that in too. I know you're busy.
I appreciate it, but I wasn't looking for it.
I know you're busy. But again, you're an entrepreneur, man, and you know, minority-owned company, man, and we got to promote definitely ourselves. I discussed in earlier shows the concepts of unfinished business and undelivered communications as being possible, what we call stuck points in the grief process. What are your thoughts on this, and or does this resonate with you?
It definitely does. Like I said, there was a, like you spoke earlier, COVID kind of limited contact with myself and my father due to the fact that he had been in a nursing home. So, you know, it went for a long time where I couldn't even see him, you know, where I had been there for him, visiting him weekly. You know, he'd call me and ask me for certain things, and I would take him things. And, you know, it got to a point where it was kind of traumatizing because I knew that, you know, didn't know exactly how long he had, but I did know that he was getting there towards the end. And, you know, I'd still be able to take him stuff, but I couldn't visually see him, and he couldn't visually see me. Yeah. And, you know, we couldn't speak to each other because, you know, he had been on a ventilator for the last 18 months.
Right.
So, you know, thankfully, as much as sometimes I dislike technology, you know, the fact that we were able to text back and forth, you know, meant the world to me as far as being able to communicate with him. But there's just something lost in translation and texting. You know, there's not that raw physical connection and emotion, you know, and that eye contact, right, and, you know, that holding of a hand or that the stroking of a forearm just to let someone know that you're here.
Or even the facial expressions and the gestures and the body postures, right, that say a lot to us, man. Yeah.
Yep. And as far as stuck points or unfinished business, I guess for me, a stuck point would be, as much as I tried my best to be the best son to him that I could while he was in that situation, you know, there was times where he was constantly wanting stuff or telling me, you know, what I should or shouldn't do. And, you know, there was points where it got a little frustrating and, you know, I got a little irritated. And then when you lose them and you pass away, you hope that you didn't convey that irritation back upon them, mm-hmm, and that they, you know, they realized that the only thing that mattered was having them there. And not that the little not so sweet moments that you guys have back and forth, and that hopefully it's all about the memories. And for me, like I said, with COVID, my biggest concern was, even though they explained to me and they tried to tell me that he went quick, it really hurt me to my core knowing that he didn't have anybody there with him in his last moments. Mm. You know, that I've been through with my mother, my wife and her grandmother, and also a cousin and her mother, and, you know, and there was that time where people knew that they were going, and you were able to, you know, family was able to gather and be there for them, you know, and just be there, and, you know, so they at least knew someone was there.
Right.
And for me, that was a part that, you know, it hurt a lot knowing that I couldn't be there for my father in his final moments.
Yeah. I could tell that, you know, still resonates with you. I could hear the emotions in your voice as you talk about that, man. And again, I appreciate you sharing your story, man. I guess, having said all that, Alan, what have you done? I know you talked about work, but what have you done, man, to maintain that balance in your life after your loss experiences? Not only your father, but I know what you went through with your wife, your beautiful wife, man. How difficult that was. That was difficult for all of us, man, that are around you on a day-to-day basis. But what have you done to maintain that balance and regulation in your life, man, since those?
You know, and to be perfectly honest, there's probably some more healing and some more processing that needs to be done even down the line. I haven't really done a whole lot to take time for myself. I mean, I've gone on a couple of camping trips, but if you've gone camping, you're well aware that going camping is just as much work getting ready. And then when you get back home, all the unloading and unpacking is just as much, you know, you get that basically 1 or 2 days in between where you're actually there camping.
Especially the way you guys camp. Absolutely, man. I know what you mean.
But I've honestly, it's been so hectic with work. I mean, it's my fifth year in business and I'm busier than I've ever been. It's gotten to a point where I actually have had to turn away and reject work and, you know, even refer a company that let me go before to work to them because, you know, I know at least in their work practices that they're sound and, you know, if I'm going to refer somebody and send someone somewhere else's way, then I'd rather, you know, them get quality work done.
Yeah.
Even if there may have been a little, you know, bad feelings on the let go.
Right.
But yeah, I'm sure I still have some processing to do. And like I said, it's going to be probably when the work slows down and, you know, I've got a little more time to think. But I try, the things I have done to try to help myself is, you know, I try to keep that connection even though he's gone. Mm. You know, I don't maybe not make it quite as often as I'd like to, but I, you know, I get out to his gravesite and he smokes cigars. You know, I don't smoke cigars, but on Father's Day, you know, I went out there and sat at his grave with him and had a cigar and, you know, enjoyed the view and hope that he's watching the same views as that I'm seeing. And basically, I just try to live my life to where he would still be proud and try to honor his memory. You know, right. I try to let go of any negative or any, you know, bad things growing up and focus and concentrate on the things that I admired and the good times that we did have and we shared and, you know, hope that he's looking down on me and he realizes that, you know, he sees my heart.
Right. No, man, that's awesome to hear. In an earlier show, man, I used the term, well, counselors like me, right, we use the term process, right? Let's process that emotion. Let's process that feeling that what's going on. And I explained that in my professional experience, how I define process is deal with. That's psychobabble jargon, man. Let's process that. Well, what do you mean by that? Let's deal with that. Let's deal with this emotion. What do you mean by that? Let's stay with that, right? What processing, dealing with everything that you've gone through and not avoiding like we used to do, right? Avoiding just pressurizes everything.
Oh, definitely.
And I talked about how trauma and grief can be this giant pressure cooker. And it's got these fancy valves, right, that let us know, like, okay, the pressure, the steam's too much. We got to depressurize, right, or unscrew that release valve. And so processing is unscrewing that release valve where you're actually dealing with, you're talking about it, you're paying attention to the songs, to the lyrics, you're sitting at a gravesite smoking a stogie, you know, and just being there in the moment, man, instead of avoiding, instead of forgetting, because that's ridiculous. When will we ever forget, right? Who would ask us to do that? Forget that loss. That's ridiculous. You'll always have those memories. We just have to constantly, through time, process that stuff and deal with it. Now, as minorities, Alan, you and I know, speaking for myself, growing up the way we did, my culture, we don't do therapy, right? We just, that's not... It's not even in the talks. We go talk with family.
It seems like we do, but most of the times the therapy is in unhealthy ways.
Okay.
It tends to be in drinking or drug related, you know, and which is the same thing, escaping and not dealing with the issue and trying to not think about it and inebriate yourself to where it's, you know, you don't have to deal with it because you can't really process because right. You can't really think straight.
Right. Because you're just numbing.
Yep.
Yeah. What are your thoughts to the listeners out there on going out and seeking professional help, someone who is maybe a referee, a zebra stripe, you know, to use a sports analogy, and just kind of be there present and help kind of conduct and direct maybe the direction of where that human being needs to go? What are your thoughts now as a mature, grown adult male about therapy and seeking help that way?
Like I said, in my past, I definitely would have told somebody, you must be losing your mind or, you know, you don't need that. But as I've grown and I've matured and, you know, I've had to deal with a close loss, I think that it can definitely be beneficial. I think that, you know, there is sometimes a wall put up between yourself and family members or kids or some people just don't know how to listen and they'll just try to give you feedback, you know, constantly. And that's not necessarily what you're looking for all the time. Mm-hmm. So therapy is, I think, would be a good solution because, you know, it's kind of like you said, a zebra stripe. There's somebody impartial there that can just listen to you. You know, they can try to understand where you're coming from and they can, you know, maybe just give you pointers versus giving you the end all cure, you know,
right.
And it helps, like I said, when it's impartial and it's somebody even that you just don't know, you know, that you can go and bounce stuff off of and maybe you get a little bit different perspective because they don't know you as well either.
Right.
You know, because someone else who knows you very well, you know, they may look at your past, they may look at your history and they may not think that you're being sincere.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's just looking for attention because I know this guy. I've never seen him shed a tear in 30 years I've known him.
Right.
And here he is, you know, breaking down and losing his cool.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, we have no dog in the fight, right? I mean, just another soul, another human being sitting in front of us that picked up that phone and drove to my location and is opening up about their life, about their history, about their pains and their struggles. And just pay attention to that. Listen to me and help guide me, because they're stuck, right? They're in a place where they're seeking assistance. They're looking for some help. And if we can do that for someone coming into our clinics, that's all we would ask for, man. Just pick up the phone, make a phone call, give us a call over there at Mind Renewal, 719-465-2582. Talk to one of our schedulers. We'll get you the help that you need. We'll pair you with a therapist, a counselor that we feel would be a good fit for you, because that's super important, and get you the help that you need. So, Alan, in closing, we're almost out of time here, man. Time flew by, and I really, really appreciate your perspective on this, man. And I know we go, a ways back, but some of these things that you're sharing today, we haven't spoken about. And hearing this other side of you, man, is very eye-opening for me, man. And it brings me that much closer to you, man. But in closing, share a final thought, if you don't mind, a piece of counsel to the listeners out there about dealing with grief and loss.
The biggest thing I would say is, for those of you who are too tough to not have to deal with it, that just allow yourselves the process, allow yourselves to cry, allow yourselves to break down, allow yourselves to go talk to someone else where you normally wouldn't talk to someone, and keep yourself guarded. I can tell you from personal experience, I definitely think that I became a little closer with my wife, because, there got to be points in times where I just couldn't take it anymore by myself. So, and she's one of my few trusted confidants. So, I opened up to her about it, and understand it's okay. Whether you think you're going to or not, you're probably going to beat yourself up, and knock yourself over the head over and over and over and over again about what you should have done, what you could have done, what you wish you would have said. You have to allow those emotions and those things to go. And there is no easy or quick solution to any of it. It is, honestly, time is the only thing that is going to help you at all. And it takes time to grieve, and it takes time to process. It's not, and it may be different for everybody. It's not 2 weeks, not 1 month, not 3 months, not 6 months. And honestly, it's probably going to continue to be a point in time where for the rest of your life, even on certain occasions, it's going to come back to you. Because for me, Father's Day was difficult for me. I didn't want to celebrate, even though there were those that wanted to celebrate me. I'm not really looking forward to Christmases anymore, being that he passed away on Christmas. But I imagine that there'll be a point in time where, Christmas and family gatherings, those things will overtake the grief and the loss that incurred. And I just implore everyone out there, just give yourself time. Don't be too hard on yourself. It's not as easy as we think. No matter how many times we've dealt with it, once it gets a little closer to home, it definitely hurts. And we need to allow ourselves that time just to heal.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for that last thought, Alan. And again, this has been Mind Salad, a show about mental wellness from different perspectives. I'm your host, Carlos Villafan. I want to thank you, Alan, for coming in today and sharing your life story, man, for 30 minutes. Right. I really appreciate your time. I want everybody to stay tuned next week on Mind Salad with Lexi Ellis from Into Freedom Counseling. And I want to just close by reminding everybody that if you correct your mind, the rest of your life will fall into place. Thank you, everybody. Stay blessed, and I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Mind Salad, a discussion of mental wellness issues and topics with a rotating panel of mental health providers. Heard every Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on KPPF, and be sure to listen to the podcast on Podbean. Mind Renewal is a minority and veteran-owned practice with a passion for serving the underrepresented and to remove the stigma attached to seeking and receiving quality behavioral health services. Mind Renewal has a diverse group of clinicians with assorted specialties to meet your individual needs. Their goal is to empower clients to improve their quality of life and help connect them to resources that sustain their positive growth. If you're considering help, call Mind Renewal 719-465-2582.